Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. We're going to go out to Nevada, the Silver State, and Clark County, which has the biggest individual school district in America. Clark County Unified Schools or something like that. It also has been making more news than any other community, or not even really a community, hardly, than any other in this country in the last several days. The situation now is calm there. We have standing by who has been kind enough to clue us in on what's going on out there tonight. Deborah Tavares and her husband have driven all the way out there to find out for themselves what the story is. Can you hear me? I understand we have a kind of a lousy cell phone, Deborah, so let's see how you sound.
Well, hi, Jeff. Yes. How am I coming through?
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, good, good. Well, yes, I'm sitting here in the staging area on the Bundy, near the Bundy Family Ranch, and I am privileged to have a very tired Eamon Bundy with me right now.
Oh, very good.
They have been under siege, as the nation realizes. And what we want to point out after we talk about what everyone was seeing on the news, we're going to get some of the reports straight because his dad today made it very clear that there was quite a bit of misinformation out there. So we're going to clear up a few things about what the people are hearing. But we also are going to point out that the BLM, who is the assault corporation against the Bundy Ranch,
yeah.
We found that they are listed on Dun and Bradstreet. They are doing business. Oh, they are a
for-profit
private corporation. And we also, before coming out here, pulled off the climate action plan for Clark County as well. And so they're under siege with the economic warfare scheme under the guise of sustainability, where they're also, as we all are, being assaulted with the requirement to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. So that's what we're seeing across the country. This is what we're seeing with the family farm. And in fact, before we start with the interview here, I want to encourage everybody to go onto YouTube and listen to Torn from the Land by Pastor Lindsay Williams, so that everyone will understand different aspects of how they have been attacking the peripheral of our city for many, many decades. And again, this is Deborah Tavares with StopTheCrime.net. You're going to hear me talk tonight a little bit about climate action plans. Again, that is a link at the top of StopTheCrime.net. But Jeff, I do have one of the Bundy's sons here with me today.
Great.
And they were talking today, and his dad wanted to clear up some of the misunderstandings that people have heard. And his dad made a very profound statement today and request of all of the sheriffs throughout the country.
Uh-huh.
So, Eamon, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? And he's exhausted, by the way. Introduce yourself and tell people what your father said today.
Very good.
So my name is Eamon Bundy.
Hello, Eamon. I'm Jeff, and I really appreciate you being here. There are a lot of folks who really care about you and your family listening in right now. You've probably done more than a few radio programs, and you've been through hell, all of you. And I'm very grateful for you holding it up and being here with us right now. Go ahead and tell us what the real deal is out there as far as what your dad would like to put forth, and then I'll ask you a couple of quick questions.
Well, you know, we went from being threatened to them actually coming out here and occupying the land, locking it down, and putting us under siege, to gaining a lot of political support, having almost these small little confrontation battles, if you will, with them, and backing them down each time, and then finally at last Saturday having the large battle, and we run them out of the land. We give them half an hour to get the first vehicle out and about an hour to get everything else. And they literally dropped what they were doing and left the whole country. So it feels like a great victory here, but we know that it's far from over.
What, Eamon, what do you think caused them to leave so abruptly? What was the deal there? There's something going on here that doesn't, to me, feel right. It's almost like it was a probing operation to see what the response would be from the public, a psyop, if you will. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there's always that possibility because who we're dealing with. But I will say that they came in here with force. They did not intend to leave. I mean, as far as I can see, I mean, they had everywhere they went in droves, meaning so they hired contract cowboys to come in here and paid them over $1 million to collect these cattle. And everywhere they went, there was a contract cowboy and four or five fully armed men in vehicles.
That was the ratio? One contract cowboy surrounded by four or five armed men?
Well, one contract vehicle with four or five vehicles, and each vehicle in them had two armed men with a dog and a trained German Shepherd.
Wow.
That was how it was.
Yeah. Okay. Contract cowboys. They had to know what they were doing, what they were getting into. They did it for the money. I would think that most Americans wouldn't have a lot of respect for people like that, frankly, selling out to the government. I don't. I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, they're horrors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a dirty name in the business. There's only a few of the lowest that'll do it. And I'm sure that when they went a pack and, you know, there was at least some of them there that felt ashamed.
Well, Jeff, you know, we can look at the first question you asked, whether this was a test, because it doesn't feel right. They backed down too fast. And I firmly believe when you look at the Silent Weapons Quiet Wars document and you understand that they do shock testing and beta testing.
There you go.
And I really do think that this was a test to see if we're right for the taking yet,
mm-hmm.
and we still have some spunk of defiance within us. But when we look at how far this corporate structure has gotten into every single city, and every city is now incorporated, we don't have representation. We've spoken about that before on the radio. But what I think is most important for people to understand that are listening, Jeff, is that all of the we're under a permanent state of national emergency, and every sitting president, every single year, whether they're Democrat or conservative, extended, and it was extended on September 10th of 2013 by the Obama administration. And with this continued national state of emergency, the Constitution is usurped, and all of the decisions are coming through the executive branch, which is why we're all scratching our heads and saying, how can the president be making these executive orders and riding roughshod over Congress? Well, because Congress is virtually just an illusion to keep the game going.
Sure it
is. One has to look at what happened here and the quick withdrawal.
Yeah.
I've heard, and I want to ask Eamon this because, again, there's quite a bit of disinformation. But what I was hearing was that they were almost maybe hoping that the militia that had come here to support the family may have gotten involved in a gun battle, and then
I was going to ask him that. Eamon, is it Eamon?
Yes, it's Eamon.
Okay, Eamon. Do you feel that they came, at least some of them, maybe hoping for a shootout?
Well, the type of people that I saw with them, and I'm certainly not talking all of them, would have no problem pulling that trigger.
May I say something, please? I cover many countless stories of people you just described. Many of them have buzzed heads, no hair. They look like middle linebackers. They look like killers, and they are ready to pull that trigger. That's the kind of person I saw on the pictures at your ranch, and that you obviously saw face to face.
Yeah, and I think they're on Saturday, the only restraint that was given them is their lives were actually in danger, and that was really the only reason why they did not force.
They didn't give a damn about you. They were worried about their own butts. Listen, here's another thing I wanted to ask, and then we'll get to Deborah. Thanks, Deborah. Hang on.
Sure.
You're outside of your home. Your family's there. You've got friends there. There are people you don't even know who have come to support you. And you look up on the hill, and you see snipers. And you know that they've got crosshairs, and they're playing games, putting crosshairs on people's heads, on their bodies. And they want to shoot. That's what they're trained for. When you're outside, you had crosshairs put on you. No question about it. Did you think about that at all at the time, or is it something that may have occurred to you later on? I mean, you were being targeted physically.
No, we thought about it the whole time. We knew, and, you know, I had some confrontations with them earlier, and I knew, and now it's even, you know, to this time that was certainly going on, and we understood what was going on, and that's why it made us upset enough to fight. You know, there's things worse than death, that's for damn sure.
There are things worse than death, and it's living the life of a slave. That's what many people have said before me. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was when the American citizenry, I would call them patriots, whatever you want, when America came to your aid, how did the family feel about them bringing weapons or cell phone cameras? Was there a debate about that? Did the fact that some of them were armed make you nervous, more nervous than you had to have been?
Only, you know, to be honest with you, it was the only nervousness that I had was just people taking it wrong, you know, because we did want as much public support as we possibly could.
Sure.
And, you know, we wanted a good variety and to get as many people as possible there. So it was just that, but I'm certainly not going to, you know, deprive or even in any way take away from our Second Amendment rights. And,
no.
and especially in the time when they needed it.
Absolutely.
The country answered the call because they saw the face of America. They saw cowboys and cattle being rustled and wrangled and assaulted by overreaching corporate agency through a corporate system. We're USA Inc. now.
Oh yeah.
And people need to understand our reality so that we can stave this off as long as possible. But yes, I mean, we see militia around here today literally guarding the Bundys. They're now going to have to be extremely careful. We're going to have to be certain that we keep them up on air frequently to get updates so that we can not allow the darkness of night to settle on this event, and then they become targeted. Because I can tell you this, the BLM is a corporation. It's listed on Dun & Bradstreet, and I pulled the information here in Nevada. And as such, they have contracts. And so what someone needs to do is pull the contracts on what they've done here to this property, because there's signed contracts likely behind this operation. This did not happen out of the clear blue. You don't roll in assets, as we all saw on television, just an hour of, it seemed, row after row of reasonably new BLM equipment, wouldn't you say? Is that what you witnessed on the ground here?
Oh, yeah, they had the top-of-the-line equipment, the top-of-the-line tactical gear, weapons, you know, everything. But I'm not surprised about that. Federal government, right? I think it's done the best. And the toys, all the toys, all the, you know, surveillance equipment, everything. Because, you know, after we run them out, we were able to go down into the camp and see what, you know, they had. And they even left the generators going because they left in a hurry. And
they left the generators running. How interesting is that?
Yeah, wow. They even left some. They left some vehicles and I mean trucks, trailers. They were in a hurry to get out of there, and you know, no matter what conspiracies you might think of or whatever might be the thought, I truly believe that the American people got together and run them out of there. There's just too much evidence that happened. They did not intend to leave the way that they left.
Well, the concern that I would have, Jeff, with this conversation right now is, you know, that many of us have worked for years now with the smart meter situation.
Sure.
And we were able to attain the opt-out.
Mm-hmm.
And we found on the Vanderbilt website in the sociology department a plan to give us the illusion, in other words, to create an appeasement so that people would settle back down. Again, I seriously, when you look at the silent weapons document, they've been shock testing and beta testing us all along the way. And for them to exit a stage area where they have millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment, and as we're now being told, leaving equipment behind and even running, none of this is making sense. That's not what you do.
No, there's something. I don't. We may not ever find out, but something happened here that was odd. Maybe, I don't know. Did you hear rumors of any large numbers of militia on the way there? That they might have said, "Well, we're going to be outnumbered 20-1 here in a day, and if we got to get out of here, let's go."
Absolutely.
Is that a possibility, Ammon?
Yeah, and I mean, we had 1,000 people on the ground already. So,
yeah, they were just getting from what I could see on the net, there were movements, groups of armed militia who were on the way or just about ready to depart.
That's correct. That is correct. They were.
Well, this is clearly economic warfare. We're seeing this nationwide. As we were heading down here and we went through the breadbasket of California, the farmers and ranchers there, of course, have these signs along I-5 that say Congress is turning this into a dust bowl. No water, no food, no jobs. They've been screaming for help. And what interests me is that people came to the calling of the Bundy family. So, Ammon, how do you think that they heard your call when they're not hearing ranchers' calls from all over the nation that are in similar situations? What was it, do you think, that sparked the nation to look on your family and come to your rescue?
Well, there are several things if you look at the escalation of it, but the one thing that always stood from 19 years ago was my dad not compromising at all. He did not compromise with the federal government, period. He fired them 19 years ago, and he never talked to them since. And so, I mean, he made a solid stand, and he didn't compromise. There was no, now I'm going to pay your grazing fee, but you're not treating me right. No, it's like, I'm not going to pay your grazing fee, and you're not going to treat me incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
So people saw that, and it was, and that certainly made people interested in it.
Ammon, you're right, Ammon. Oh, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to, articulate the escalation of it, but it's probably a good time to make a point on not compromising with the government.
That's exactly right. In fact, his dad made a very important statement today, because when he was here on Saturday and he talked to Sheriff Gillespie, who was here, and could see that the sheriff has never, ever come to the aid of this family. In fact, he said they've dialed 911, they've called the governor.
Yeah.
No one has ever come to their aid.
No, they're blacklisted.
And,
sure.
And when the sheriff was here on Saturday, his dad gave him an ultimatum. And again, that shows I'm not going to compromise. You cross the line, I'm not going to compromise. Well, today, his dad said this. He said that, and you can make sure I get this right, Ammon. He said that he wants all of the sheriffs in the country to disarm all the bureaucrats that would go against the citizenry. Is that about right?
Well, to disarm all federal bureaus, period. He didn't say that would go against. He said, disarm them. They have no purpose or reason to even have arms. Period.
Yeah, what is the United States Postal Service have weapons for? What does the IRS have weapons for? How many billions of rounds of hollow point 40 caliber and so forth has the Department of Homeland Security bought? And they try to tell us it's for target practice. I mean, that's laughable. We know what it's for. It's for us.
There's only one reason why the federal government would have arms. It's only
exactly.
One.
Exactly right. And that's their fear of us.
Well, it's not so much the fear of us as much as it is the fact that we have been identified as the enemy of the state. And this is where people need to understand where our lack of knowledge has enslaved us and put us in the position we are right now. Because we've all been good, trusting, hardworking Americans, never dreaming that we would have a government that would be as corrupt and as evil as it has become. And when you look at Senate Report 93, I've just suddenly forgotten it. It's right at the tip of my
pile of papers
here. Anyway, go to stopthecrime.net. We have Senate report listed there that identifies us as the enemy of the state. And you roll forward again the perpetual state of national emergency when everything on the executive branch is making all of the sole statutory laws. We're under statutory law. We're not under constitutional law.
Well, we're also under a state of emergency. We have to take a break. Ammon, can you hold on just for a couple more minutes, please? I've got another question or two.
Sure.
Very good. Thank you. Wonderful comments. Very enlightening to the folks listening. All right, we'll be right back with Deborah Tavares, StopTheCrime.net, and Ammon Bundy in just a minute. Okay, let's get right back to it. And our very special guest, Ammon Bundy and Deborah Tavares, has gone all the way over there with her husband to make this possible. She is a fierce journalist and investigator. Ammon, can you still hear me all right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're doing just fine. All right, did this end happily? Or let me rephrase that. Is it over? Or will they be back? I don't necessarily mean in numbers, but through their yellow-bellied attorneys and the judicial process and all the rest of it. Are they going to continue to go after you, do you think, or will they leave you alone? How does the family feel?
Well, the feeling is that there'll be a period of time where we'll be left alone, and then they'll come after us in some way. Most likely, like criminally, you know, where they try to make us criminals. Harry Reid's already keying his phrases, so that's pretty much what most likely is going to happen.
What a dirtbag that guy is. We have in our nation's capital the biggest raft of scum I've ever seen in my life. Has anyone in any position of political influence or office come to your aid in any way?
Yeah, there actually has been. And I actually lit. So just so you understand my situation, I'm the third son, and so I actually don't day-to-day work on the ranch.
I understand.
The ranch does not sustain all all the my father's children. So I work and live in Phoenix, and there has been they wrote up a document. 40 out of the 60 lawmakers in Arizona actually signed a recognition, a letter of recognition, putting down this action. And, you know, so there's good support in Arizona for me. It's just that Nevada just is so poor, the representation. There are some, but it's so minimal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel stronger for where I live than where my dad lives, that's for sure.
Well, you look at the disproportionate federal land occupancy here in Nevada compared to some other states, and most of it is, of course, controlled by the federal government. So that would certainly speak to the representation of the types like Harry Reid. But I also want, Jeff, to let you know that we have another gentleman here by the name of Ken Rhodes, that was a patriot that came in from out of state.
Good.
And witnessed firsthand on the ground that morning of Saturday.
All right, let's say goodnight to Ammon. Let me do that, and then I'll have you introduce our next guest. I didn't know there were two. That's great. Ammon, are you still there?
Yeah,
okay.
He'll stay here through the broadcast, because I'm sure we're going to have some other questions
of
Ammon
as well.
But I have Ken Rhodes, and Ken Rhodes was there as after Ammon's father said, okay, in fact, will you cite what your dad said when the hour and a half was up, and I know he let it go another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes, when he told Sheriff Gillespie, get all of this equipment out, bring the guns to the flag, and then you fill in the rest of the story.
Well, you give him time, and then when that time came up, he asked the people if they wanted to take care of themselves, and they all said yes. And so, basically, that's what happened. They got up and took care of themselves.
And at that point, even while Clive and Bundy was making his way over to what was potentially the flashpoint in his tractor, he was detained getting there in his tractor. And he had the idea that this was the people's fight now, that they needed to be engaged. Isn't that, this is what your dad was saying today?
Yeah, he had an experience where he was going to join that fight and did not continue for, as he said, spiritual reasons, understanding that this is the people's fight and he needs to let them do that, and that they did. They did do that.
So we have Ken here,
right,
who was at the head of the line that morning on Saturday as this all was going down.
So, very good. All right.
I'm going to have Ken tell you what his experience was.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Jeff. I've listened to you a few times. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
This Ken Rhodes, but no, I don't think they had any attention to standing down. When we first started walking up, or they had lights up on us, like a generator, they started flashing around, tell us this would be illegal to disperse. And we all, everybody kept, actually we didn't walk fast, we kept creeping forward, and we had the guns drew down on you. At that time, you knew you were definitely enemy of the state, and I think they would love to kill us if they could have.
Yeah,
but on top of the freeway, there was the militia up there and had them all sighted in. I think they knew that, and I think that's why they got out of there in a hurry.
I saw one picture of that, Ken, and there was a militia man up on the overpass or a road sighting through some of those concrete barriers at some of the snipers, apparently. And I think you're right. They were outnumbered. And I think they knew from all over the country there was going to be a hell of a lot of people moving toward the Bundy Ranch. That's my feeling.
Well, there were also a number of Bundy women that were on the front line, as well as other women as well. The way I understood it from Clive Bundy today, that they were holding hands. And they were in front of the group as well.
Uh-huh.
And is that what you observed, Ken, when you were there Saturday morning?
Yeah. And they, I don't think they would, Jeff, if we hadn't had any guns behind us, if the Second Amendment was gone, they wouldn't have had any hesitation about just mowing us down there today. But also, if they had to start shooting that sniper up on the freeway, now you got to shoot into traffic because traffic stops. You know, you start killing people on the freeways because your robbery goes bad and you're not going to look very good. These people, like, they all like to be in the dark. You know, they like to keep all their
crap
that they pull in the dark.
Now, Jeff, there's something else that we need to talk to Eamon about while he's here. He was tased and taken down to the ground, as well as one of his family members. So let's talk to him about that as well. I mean, this is the heavy-handed aspect of what this family faced.
Heavy-handed? I think I saw a photo of the wounds. If I remember, you were shot near the front of the left shoulder on your chest. Is that right?
Yeah, that was one of them. I stayed 3 times.
3 times?
And did I go down?
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, Jeff, he got tased 3 times. Have you ever seen a video where the cops tased somebody and hit the ground screaming?
Sure.
This guy here stood up, yanked him out of him, went right back at him.
Unbelievable. That's the spirit of America for you. That's incredible. I saw the photo of the of 3 of them. That's amazing. The pain must have been excruciating. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, really what it is you can't use your muscles. It disables your muscles. And you have to really focus. Like when I pulled them out, I mean, you had to really focus on yanking them out. And then I had, people with me, my cousin, and other people that when the next tasers that came, they helped me yank them out real quick, and they still hit me 3 times. So it was quite an experience, and those are pretty powerful weapons, actually.
I saw the pigs that shot them, and they fit my description. Thick-headed, buzzed-headed, unthinking zombie robot killers. In this country, we've seen the deaths of over 500 innocent people by taser. And the cops know this. They know there's a chance that they're going to shoot somebody and they're going to die. They know it. I don't care what they say. And they fully expected you to go down and not to get up. And that must have really freaked them out when you stood up. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, the problem, though, of course, is what we're witnessing is the type of weaponry that is going to be displayed on a broader scale. When they come with their guns, of course, we know that they have electromagnetic weapons that we know were deployed in Iraq with robots.
Sure.
Where they could literally take a ping off of a dog tag and do an accurate headshot 2.5 miles away. This is the type of weaponry that we have not been made aware of, because they still want us to think that it's all about the gun.
I know.
And I can say to you that they're trying to really downplay the technologies that they have and that are available. And as we speak often, Jeff, and we are here as well, chemtrails. In fact, while we were here today, there were several other media networks here, and I was pointing out the chemtrailing overhead. So they're being hit here too. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Ken, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. When you were looking into the faces of these men, what did you see?
I just seen a cold stare. I mean, like no emotions, no feelings. That's the picture I got of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're nothing to them. It'd be like them going into Iraq and shoot somebody that actually had done something, or they felt had done something.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't done anything but march to our peace flag. I was unarmed. I wasn't armed. But I was up close to front, right in front of the horses and the women there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they was going to shoot somebody, I would have been in line. But I felt like that here in the United States of America, that your own government, which we could, it's really not our government, but they'll point a gun at you and be willing to kill you.
Well, you know, another thing, Jeff, is they were reporting today on the condition of the cattle, because there were many cows that were separated from their
I know, that bothered a lot of people. Yeah,
and there was a report on that, and I think your dad talked about, you talked about one bull that was shot.
Yeah, there was one bull that was shot from the air, so, you know, they shot him while they were in a helicopter.
Oh, really? Just for fun? Obviously, the bull didn't pose any threat to anybody, so they just shot a bull.
That's what it looked like.
And there were a lot of injured cattle, the way I'm understanding it, too.
Yeah, they were pretty rough on them. Just the fact that they run them with the helicopter and then put them in a pen and they, you know, they get cold.
How many of the calves are, I guess your dad calls them doggies? We're reunited with their mothers. Do we have any idea?
Well, we had 27 calves that were separated, young calves.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we've got about 7 or 8 of them with their mothers.
All right. Well, hopefully...
That's what the family's been working all day ever since they were released from the pens,
mm-hmm.
in getting the calves, united.
Bringing them
and
back,
I think,
to their mothers.
And I think... They're taking care of the ones now that they can't get united. Is that right?
Absolutely. They're bottle feeding all the ones that are not. So it's a pretty good chore right now. It's a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Well, it's a nice, a very nice story to hear about animals. We need to honor our animal friends a lot more than we do. Look how they treat people, for God's sakes. It amazes me. They fly around in a helicopter. They stampede the animals. They shoot one from the helicopter. And I think, Ken, you're right. I think if there were no weapons there among the Patriots, I think they very well might have opened fire. You know what the word false flag, those words mean. They could have pulled off a false flag shooting where they shot one of their own officers and claimed that a Patriot, an American, someone there to help, had done it. And then they opened fire. It's very easy to do.
That's right.
But Jeff, since they didn't do that, that's the reason I think they had no intentions of. They didn't plan on leaving. They planned on finishing this job. I'll tell you that right now. Now, if they're going to do what you said, which I know they do, they shoot one and that gives them right to kill all of us.
Yep. They sacrifice one of their own. Ammon, is that something that occurred to you folks?
Absolutely. We talked about it, but like I said, the true fear of the possibility of them getting wiped out prevented them from doing any of that business.
Mm-hmm.
I keep stumbling on the idea that here we have cowboys and horses and cattle, and we saw the heavy-handed fist of a country that has been taken over, essentially with through the emergency, perpetual emergency powers act. And we're seeing America in its raw form now in the good old days of the Western. And while we have other ranchers falling by the drove for decades, this really united, I think, our country with the idea of saving the good old days. I'm hopeful because I see too, Jeff, as I'm looking at these plans, these climate action plans, they're heavy assaults now on the tribal community and the Indian nations. In fact, I was just talking to someone here today that is talking about some of the local Indians are being told they've got to put solar in on their reservations.
Oh, really? On their own land?
Yes.
On their own reservations? Uh-huh.
Yes, in fact, on StopTheCrime.net, under the Climate Action Plan link, we have documents that show the EPA now telling the tribal communities that your culture, the sustainability of your culture is at risk unless you reduce your greenhouse gas emissions.
Well, all right. We have about 6 minutes left. Ken, anything you want to say to add to what your contribution has already imparted to us, which has been wonderful? You've really given us a good idea. I guess the question I'd have for you real quick was, what was the spirit, what was the mood like among the Americans there to oppose the oppressors?
I've seen some of the happiest people you ever seen, knowing that they could get killed by this government, and I don't think any of them had any doubt that they might be killed. But no, the spirit was very good here at the camp. Mm-hmm. And this is a family that sticks together, and it's a great family. And all and the people, I mean, we come here, they treat us just like we're part of the family.
Yeah.
All every person here, I don't know how many it was, 2,000, 3,000, everybody got treated, everybody got fed, they had water. I mean, people were sending pizzas in from other countries. And so these people, and they done a great thing by waking up America. I mean, this family did a great thing right there by his dad having the morals and standing up, did the greatest thing. Now, we should see this spread throughout the world, or not the world so much, but the United States. It should really spread.
I completely agree with you, Ken, and I thank you very much for being there, and thank you for being here on the program tonight. Thank you, Ken. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Jeff.
You know, this has been extremely costly. I'm here at the staging area where they have to have porta potties. The family is very gracious. They're obviously spending work time that it would normally take to keep the cattle going.
How can we help? How can we help?
Well, I can't speak for the family other than that it's quite obvious. If people want to send donations, I think that people need to look at that possibility, because this family is under direct assault. And the cost to them is visual. It's going to take months and months and months. They're going to be hit further. We know that. This is mm-hmm. not over
no.
by a long shot.
No.
So, you know, in answer to that question, how people that can't be here, that can't be supporting you physically, and the people that would want to donate for the cause of supporting the family, have you discussed what people might be able to do? Is there an address that people could send some donations if they were so inclined to do so?
Yeah, there's, I guess, blogspot, the Bundy Family blogspot.com. There's a PayPal donation that someone, you know, completely voluntarily, they put it all together. And, you know, we're not asking people to.
Oh, no, we understand that. You don't have a lot. Yeah.
We're not asking to send a lot. And we,
sure.
You know, we feel honored to be able to do this. And
well,
to be able to
that comes across.
What we can.
Yeah, that comes across loud and clear. So it's the Bundy Family Blogspot.com. B-U-N-D-Y, Bundy Family Blogspot.com. And there's a PayPal button there. And I hope all of you listening will go hit that button, even if it's just for $5, just to say, we appreciate you. And you can put a little note in there, whatever. But this is, you know, if it weren't for the, one more thing, Deborah, and here's the point. If it wasn't the Bundys, it could have been you and Lou. It could be me. It could be any of us. And that's what we have to think about.
We know, based on the evidence that we've uncovered here in Northern California, that the Department of Energy is going to be required to go sweep through our neighborhoods and knock on everyone's door. And we're going to have to pay for these in-home energy audits. So the attack and the assault is on. And again, we've spoken about that on other programs. But the assault here, it's in multiple ways, and it's hitting everybody differently.
Yeah.
And I think that this is going to be a huge awakening where people need to understand their reality. They need to look at who's running America. On StopTheCrime.net under the USA Inc. section,
mm-hmm.
as well as taking a look at Senate Report 93549 and understand we were the enemy. I also would suggest that people listen to Eustace Mullins conferences. That's Mullins.
Yeah,
and understand. Yeah, he's an amazing
historian.
He was a
fairly good friend of mine for quite a number of years. And if we only had him now, I mean, he was a great one, a giant. Let me say,
we do have him now. We have
he's
him
on YouTube.
YouTube.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He'll always be with us in that sense, of course. Look up Mullins, Eustace Mullins on YouTube, folks, and be educated. Ammon, thank you for being with us tonight. Get some rest. And on behalf of all America that really cares, shake your dad's hand and give your mom and everybody a hug, because these a lot of folks out there, you got a lot of friends out there, your family does. Lots.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
Thank you, Ammon.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for the show tonight.
Of course.
It's been a long day for the family. They're literally exhausted. They haven't slept for days.
Yeah.
And they have got protection here. I can tell you that we see protection on the mountaintops here, watching after them.
Very good.
Because as you said, they've been in the crosshairs, and they still are, and we're going to have to get them back up, and keep following this, because the more attention, the more light we shine on this, the safer they will be.
Well, thank you, Deborah, and thanks, Lou, and thanks for being here and helping to bring this story out. You did a marvelous job, and some great people there, I can tell, just wonderful people. Thank you, Deb.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night.
Deborah Tavares, and there it is from the Bundy Ranch. Okay. Go to BundyFamilyBlogspot.com. If you have a PayPal account, send them something. And you got space there to put a little note to. They're standing up for all of us. Don't forget that. Okay, we'll be right back.